Morning.
Our reading today is taken from Amos chapter 5 and verses 13 to 18. And the second reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 1 verses 21 to 24. It's the reverse. Amos chapter 5 verses 21 to 24 and then Isaiah chapter 1 verses 13 to 18. So we read in Amos chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs, I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-falling stream. And then we go to Isaiah chapter 1, verses 13 to 18. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and conventions, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moons, festivals, and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the cause of the widow. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. May God bless the reading of His word to our hearts. Shall we pray? Our gracious and heavenly Father, protect us from being like hypocrites and too familiar as we come into your presence to worship you. May our hearts be broken. May our hearts be sincere. May our hearts be pure as we come and bring our prayers and our offerings and our worship, our adoration, and our love to you. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. And we ask that you would bless our pastor, open his mouth and his heart and mind and ours as well, so that we might accept the word that you have prepared for us and that we humbly might accept it and do it in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you.
God had blessed the children of Israel as He had promised Abraham. He had protected them and chosen them to be His people. He had done more than anyone could have ever deserved on this earth. He had given them the law and all the instructions they needed to live godly lives and worship Him only. And I underline Him only. And yet, they disobeyed Him and lived selfish and unholy lives. God had done everything. God had protected them. God had given them all the things they really needed. God had revealed Himself to them. God had called Abraham from up there in the city of, from the city of Ur, brought him down to the promised land, and He had blessed them. And all He wanted from them was to worship Him only, and not the statues, not the moon, not the stars, not the sun. I was traveling in Armenia 3 years ago, and I came to a village, and they said, the person that was taking me there, he said, these are pagans. Well, I said, what do you mean? Everyone is a pagan without Christ. And he said, no, they still worship the moon and the stars and the sun. I went there and I saw their cemetery, and there were mausoleums, you know, and an elderly man came. And we greeted him. Of course, he is Armenian, and yet he comes from I don't know where. And I started talking to him. And this gentleman, our missionary that we support, he said, tell this gentleman from Canada, do you believe in Jesus? And he said, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the moon. I believe in the sun. I believe in in Jesus. I believe in everything. So here you have a nation that was blessed, Israel. And then you have another nation, Armenia, that was blessed. And yet, you see a lot of religion gone crazy. God was very patient with them and sent them prophets and messengers to warn them and to ask them to turn away from their selfish and unholy ways. But they ignored God. You see, every time they ignored the prophet, every time they ignored the message, every time they ignored the messengers, they were ignoring God. They were turning their backs to God, because we believe that the prophets that prophesied and said things came from God, and God could not come down as He did in the Garden of Eden and talk to them. So He used people, and yet they rejected them. And now, once again, God speaks to them through Isaiah and Amos. Isaiah was a contemporary of Amos. Isaiah started his ministry in 740 before Christ. Isaiah's theme was God's judgment and salvation. God is the Holy One of Israel, Isaiah 1, 4 and 6, 1. Isaiah is known as Israel's greatest prophet. His name means the Lord is salvation. And even though Isaiah was one of the greatest prophets in Israel, his prophecies were ignored and are still ignored today. You go to a Jewish gentleman, a person today, a Hasidic Jew or any Jew, and tell him, what about Isaiah? Isaiah said this and that. Oh, yeah, he is referring to this and that. They will explain. And the only thing they don't want to hear is that Isaiah was speaking about Jesus the Messiah. Amos, on the other hand, was from a small town called Tekoa, 6 miles from Bethlehem. He was not a man of the court like Isaiah. He was one of the shepherds of Tekoa, Amos 1:1 starts. He was not a professional prophet, and yet God called him to speak on his behalf to Israel. Well, God chose Isaiah, a very learned man, and they didn't listen to him. And God chose Amos, a shepherd, a very simple man, and they didn't listen to him. And then finally, God sent his own son, and they didn't listen to him. Amos, on the other hand, was a small man, and yet God used him. God chose a professional prophet, Isaiah, and a simple shepherd, Amos, to send a message, a warning to the people of Israel. God, speaking through Isaiah, said to Israel then and to us today, now, hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. Isaiah 1:2. I cannot bear your evil assemblies. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen, God continues. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Come, now let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. God, speaking to Israel and us today, expresses his displeasure and anger against the hypocritical practices and the religious activities of those who are called by his name. I quote Amos, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies, even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings. I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have not regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never for a failing stream. I don't believe this message will be very popular on television these days. I don't believe what Amos and Isaiah said would be repeated very often these days. Why? Well, because they are depressing. Because they demand too much from the human beings. Because they're not politically correct. Because they show God angry. And actually God is perceived to be very loving, kind, compassionate. He loves everyone. He will save everyone. He will bless anyone who says, Lord, thank you, and whatever. And how can God say, I despise, I don't want to hear your music anymore. What do you mean you don't want to hear my music? It sounds great to me. To you, but not to God. The other day I was going through some preachers, and I came across a series of sermons preached by kids, 10, 12, 13, 14 years old kids. And they were trained to pretend to be 40, 50 year old preachers. Nice ties, good shoes, and shouting and repeating exactly what some other preachers on televisions are saying. In one situation, there was this big lady, his mother, just telling him, feeding him information from the bed. And I said, Lord, what has it become to the church? How can God be pleased when we turn the church into theater and theatrics are accepted and promoted? Not only God does not accept theatrics, God hates theatrics. Another translation, the message, I just looked some different translations to see how this sounds, Amos 5:21-24. And this translation, the message, puts it this way. I can't stand your religious meetings. I am fed up with your conferences and conventions. I want nothing to do with your religion projects, your pretentious slogans and goals. I'm sick of your fundraising schemes, your public relations and image making. I've had all I can take of your noisy ego music. When was the last time you sang to me? Do you know what I want? I want justice, oceans of it. I want fairness, rivers of it. That's what I want. That's all I want. It's an awesome thing, beautiful thing, to fall in the hands of the living God. You can pretend to be a Christian. You can pretend to be a pastor. You can pretend to be an evangelist. You can pretend to be an elder. You can pretend to be anything you want. And yet God knows exactly the heart. And God knows exactly why you're doing what you're doing. Loud music may be good. Singers may be accepted. Good activities are good. But when these things replace the message and turn the hearts away from God toward all these activities and the theatrics that are put on in the name of religion, then God is angry. I'm not saying these things. The Bible says. And here you have prophecies on radio, on television. You have Bible studies that go on for years about the Proverbs, about Psalm, about other prophecies, and these are good. There's nothing wrong with them. And yet they will not go to Amos or Isaiah to study the character of God and what God wants and what God is pleased from. Now these people did not all did all the religious activities and the feasts. They offered sacrifices, brought their offerings, they attended the assemblies, they sang and they made good music, they lifted hands in prayer, they kept all the religious feasts and festivals. So why is God so angry with them? Angry to the point of saying, I hate, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. I don't understand God, someone may say. I mean, what else does he want? They went and they sacrificed their sacrifices. They lifted hands. They prayed. They did everything that he wanted them to do. And yet he hates all the stuff they did. Why? Because God could see the reason, the motives, what made them do these things. Because their heart was somewhere else. It would be like a husband and wife who, when the husband or the wife comes home, they love, they cook nice, and then they do everything else, and then when on their own time, they go and cheat with someone else. So is the wife appreciating what the husband is doing? Is the husband appreciating what the wife is doing? Would they appreciate if they knew that they are cheating on them? No, they would not. Well, that's exactly what God is saying. You are cheating on me. You are saying that you are my followers. You are saying, Lord, Lord God, amen, hallelujahs. And then you go home and you argue and you fight and you lie and you cheat on your wife, on your husband, your children, you don't know what they're doing. The children don't know what their parents are doing. And yet you come to church and you look so good. You preach from the pulpit and as elders you serve the others. And yet deep inside there is so much corruption. So God is angry, not because he did not like their sacrifices. God does not need any of our sacrifices. God did not like their music, not because God doesn't like music, even if it's good. God saw that, but he couldn't listen, hear them. He couldn't see them because he was so angry at them. In other words, God would say, I hate your hypocritical shows and religious activities. I don't want your offerings and your singing hymns and music are bothersome noise to my ears. I don't even want to listen to them, let alone enjoy them. Why? Why is God so angry with them and their activities? Why? Because they just went through the hypocritical motions. Their lives had not changed. They were not reflecting God in their daily lives. Because their lives had not changed and they were not reflecting Christ in their daily lives. Well, that's the key. If their lives had changed, God would accept their offerings. He would enjoy their music. He would appreciate and bless them for coming to church regularly or going to the temple. He would accept all that. If their life had changed, and if they were reflecting Christ in their daily life. The problem was that they were hypocrites. And they were playing a little act on the pulpit, and their lives was something else. Christopher Horwitz asks, what is going on here? God has chosen these people, so why does He threaten judgment? God has laid down these ceremonies and religion, so why does He reject them? They were holding the feasts, doing the sacrificing, singing the songs, and yet rejects them. We are meeting together here, remembering Jesus' sacrifice, singing those songs and hymns. Are we in danger of having our worship rejected by God? He asks. We must ask the same question. I believe every pastor, every elder, every deacon, every religious person in authority should ask the question, am I a hypocrite? Am I a good actor or bad actor? Every Christian coming to church should ask the question, am I being rejected? Is my offering being rejected? My singing is being rejected? My prayers are not heard because I'm a hypocrite? And you say, no, well, I'm not a hypocrite. I love Jesus. I love God. And I know you love Jesus. And I know, I hope you do. And I know that you want to follow Jesus. And yet there are a lot of fans. That Jesus has many, many fans. People who cheer Jesus and cheer God, and they will die for the Christian religion, and yet they are not devoted, they have not surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. And to Jesus, this is hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? It's to pretend you are someone else. The Greek word, again, people will get sick and tired hearing me say the Greek word. You always remember, I know that Greek, the fat Greek wedding with a Windex and everything. But the truth of the matter, the truth is that hypocrisia is you are pretending to be someone else. You know, in the old days, theaters had this mask. You would come out as a girl and you would say some things and you would go in and take another mask and put the face of a man, and then you would take the mask and pretend to be someone else. And this is what hypocrisia is. And I believe religious people today, and Christians in particular, that's my faith, I suppose, they ask me, what are you? And I tell them, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. No, but what are you? I'm a Christian. No, but I mean, what are you? Are you a Catholic, Protestant? Are you a whatever, Pentecostal, Greek Orthodox? I tell them, no, actually, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, a born-again believer. They will squeeze me until they hear that I come to a Baptist church. And you know what? I don't know one Baptist pastor. I don't know of one Baptist church that can save anyone on this earth. Neither our doctrine, neither the preaching, neither the persons in leadership can save anyone. The only one that can save is the one who died on the cross and shed His blood. That's why Apostle Paul says, and we preach Christ and Him, a stavromenon, which means crucify. These people were blessed. They were blessed in so many ways. And yet, they worship other gods. We are so blessed. And yet we have, when I say we, I don't mean me and you. We are perfect. We're not. But I mean those who pretend to be Christians have many gods. Only one God. Our God may be sex. Our God may be drugs. Our God may be drinking. The God may be pride. The God may be money. Could be positions, could be job, could be the wife, the husband, the lover, whatever. There are many gods in Christendom today. And God says, I'm angry. You go to church every Sunday. You preach adultery is sin. I was testing my tapes, cassette, and I came across a cassette. I don't know who gave it to me. Excuse me. And this cassette is a black, I believe, Jamaican person singing. I had a tough time understanding that dialect, the way he was singing. But I understood enough to say, hey man, you get up and preach every Sunday against adultery, and you commit adultery. You say fornication is sin, and you and your family is committing fornication. You say this is sin and you're doing this. He said, I am sick and tired of religious people. If we can get sick and tired of religious people, you can imagine God, whose name we are called by. What, you're a Christian? Please don't call yourself a Christian. You're taking my name on you. And you are cheating there with that person at the office. Or you're cheating here. Or you don't even really believe in Jesus. You know what? I've heard many Christians say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't know whether really Jesus is God. I don't know whether even if God is there. And unless we make up our minds and say, I'm a Christian because I'm the follower of Jesus Christ. And because I'm the follower of Jesus Christ, I'm going to follow him. Forget about Joseph of Arimathea. Forget about MacArthur. Forget about Stanley. Forget about the Pope. Forget about the whoever writes those big articles and things. I'm going to follow Christ. And if what Pastor Joseph says is according to the Word of God, I'll accept it. And if what MacArthur says is according to the Word of God, I'll accept it. And if what Stanley says is according to the Word of God, I'll accept it. And if whatever someone says about Jesus Christ is according to the Word of God, I will consider it. And yet, we don't do that. We pick and choose the things that we like. If someone loves money and pride and goes to a preacher in the United States who has many thousands of followers and he listens to a very nice prosperity message. And he tells you that you can be rich and you must be rich. The children of God are not beggars, I heard the other day. Someone else says, the children of God must have the best houses, the best cars. And Jesus actually said just the opposite. He said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow. Who wants to be a follower of Christ? Only fool, people say. And yet, Jesus said, if you follow me, the weight that you carry and your problems will feel so light. Because I'll be there helping you carry them. And you will have the assurance of eternal life. And you will also have eternal life. And the peace and serenity you need. Well, let's hear what Jesus said about those who practice religion but are not really connected to and reflect Christ in their daily life. Now this is Jesus, whose name we carry. He said, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. God is not looking for a religious show. God is looking for a broken and contrite heart. Justice, holiness, and total commitment to Him and His word. Our relationship with God is not based on sacrifices. It is based on our relationship and obedience to His word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for being so patient with us. The fact that we are still here means that you are patient enough for us to be here, to be given another chance to make a choice whom and who shall we follow. Father, help each one of us. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us and revive us and restore us and help us to surrender our lives so we can have a happy and blessed journey on this earth. In your wonderful name I pray, amen.